There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched. So gallantly streaming, and the rugged red glare, the bonds bursting in air, gave proof through the night that a flag still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land
Morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three already. All right. Well, it's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi and let's check in with Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Hey, bud, what's up?
Mickey, what are you doing, buddy?
Oh, man, just living a dream, I guess. I don't know.
I guess so, man. I just Well, my heart goes out to all the people in North Carolina stuff. That was something else, man. I just hope they get some help over there.
North Carolina's getting all the press because of the just unbelievable carving of the landscape. But it's just, that was a bad storm, brother.
I can't believe how bad that was, man.
Golly. Have you talked to Robin, see how he came out?
Yes, I did. I talked to him right before the storm or right after the storm, and he was so happy he didn't lose his deer cooler. It's typical Robin. Last storm, a tree fell on his deer cooler, and it's like $35,000 to get a deer cooler. He says, well, the good news is a tree missed my deer cooler this time about 30 feet, but he's cutting out there and trying to get things going, but, man, it's something. Man, it's just so sad. And, you know, we knew it was coming, everything. Still nobody sent no help down there. 4 days, and the government doesn't do nothing for them. That's just unbelievable, isn't it? Man.
No, I'm telling you. It is. Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
It's sad. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, hopefully they'll get some help sooner or later, you know. So.
Well, they are a lot of volunteers.
Thank God for them.
What they can, you know.
Yeah, thank God for them. But anyway, all good here, Mickey. I've just been whacking and stacking on the birds and catching trout and reds. This is a pretty busy week. I've just been, man, really – really on the move this week. I started out last week, and I got to go up there to Laredo and hunt that La Perla, that beautiful ranch down there. I'll send you some pictures. The bird hunting was stupid. It was overloaded.
Nice table of birds, Captain.
Wasn't that something? And we got in the field at 4 o'clock.
It looked like one of those Friar Mood shots, man. Just big old long table covered in doves. That's sick.
Well, you know, Barry puts us all out in the field, you know, and
right.
And we had Payne Neeson come down. He owns a car dealership, so he brought down one of these Gucci Polaris's, you know, and it holds about 7 people, all these racks. We pile everybody in there, and they all drop us out in the field. Barry drops all out in the field, and he says, I'll be back about 5 to get you. You'll have your lemon. It's like 4:05. At 10 minutes after 5, everybody's got their lemon. 1 hour.
Yeah,
and
that's
kind of
stupid,
isn't it? Yeah, it's just they hadn't even really started flying yet. Just like,
yeah, I mean, that's the time at Blaine's. I mean, we said, well, we just need to be at our spot by 5 o'clock. And it's like somebody just opens a gate and here comes all the birds at 5 o'clock.
Oh, we're leaving. We're leaving. It's just like stupid how many birds. But I'm sitting in the field. Yeah, it was just option overload. So which one do I shoot? They're all over me. You know, which one do I shoot? So I started getting on a corner to an open field where I could drop them in that field and find them easier. I was just shooting the ones that were over the bear spot. That's how good it was, you know. But it was so good. And the day we shot, that afternoon we shot, it was opening day of high fence. You could shoot deer in high fence, you know, LED. So what do they call that? MLD or what is it?
MLD.
Yeah, it was the first day of that. And so we're through, like, cleaning birds, like, 6 o'clock. Everybody just jumped in and cleaned all those birds, you know. And so they go, hey, man, we can drive around and shoot some doe. We got too many doe here. And so we all get in that Polaris thing and drive around and head shoot some doe. So we put some meat on the table that day. It was crazy, you know. Shot a few deer, came back and had a great dinner. But, yeah, that place is just unbelievable. Barry's got a sanctuary there, all the big bucks, and saw some monster deer. Oh, my God, you know, just crazy. I look at his deer, and I go back to my place. It just ruins you. Like, yeah, I can't even look at these deer.
It does. Stay off in places. They'll ruin a man.
You know. But our fishing's been good. The tides are just super high, just amazing high, you know. But we come back in Sunday on that hunt, and I got Wyatt got to go, my neighbor. Wyatt Foster got to go with us, you know. And he's a shooting machine. He shoots a 28 gauge, really good shot. So we come back in Sunday. I drive with him in his truck, and I live right next door. He drops me off and says, hey, man, I'm going to hook up and go tarpon fishing. And so he goes tarpon fishing Monday. He has 24, hooked 24, landed 16. I mean, it was just off the chart. For 2 days, he caught tarpon till, you know, he just dropped. I was looking at all the pictures.
I don't know whether you heard James's report Thursday when we were talking about that. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, those 3 days, he said it's just 200 miles of tarpon all the way down the Texas coast. Yeah. Everybody was strapping it on them.
And here on the beach, the same thing, Mickey. We had guys catch 3 tarpon off the beach. I mean, unbelievable. Just, we were fishing the beach that morning. Let's see, what was it, Monday morning, I think? And it was just schools of tarpon off the beach. And also schools of sierra mackerel, schools of bluefish. My buddy Greg, I think, lost 6 topwaters that day. I think 3 one day and maybe 3 the next day, just on tarpon. And you know, just amazing amount of fish. And one of the guys that went bird hunting with us, Scott, pulled up on the beach, caught like 20 redfish in one spot, just standing in there with plastics on the beach. So it was crazy. a heck of a run of fish. Just
wow,
amazing. Just, you know, stupid. But I had these trips on – I had a really neat trip on Tuesday and Wednesday. I've had this guy that's fished me for 40 years, Pete, and he's always come with a bunch of guys, and we fish in the winter, hardcore stuff, a couple times in the spring. We never really came down in the fall. And so he told me last spring, he says, man, I'm going to bring my boys down. I got 3 sons, and I'm going to bring them down to fish with you. And they came down Tuesday, and, man, it was just a perfect day. And these one of the guys out of the 3 fished a little bit. The other ones don't fish a whole lot. And they got bait casters. They're willing to learn how to do it. And I was concerned they were going to have a lot of backlashes. And actually, they did very good. I put them out on this one shoreline, and everybody broke off their leaders. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I didn't tie those leaders. They come with pre-tied leaders, you know. And then I come back. I look at their knots. I go, well, we got to get rid of this PETA knot. It was like PETA tied their knots, you know. It's a PETA knot, dude. It wasn't going to hold nothing. It was like tying a shoestring. It was a couple of overhand granny knots. I go, this ain't going to work, you know. So I re-rigged everybody the next day. And, well, first we left there and went trout fishing way south and caught some trout. We come back on the shoreline where these big fish were. And I couldn't really tell what they were because they never landed one of them, you know. And so we got back in there on Wednesday, and it was Katie barred the door on those 25 to 30-inch reds. They were in there, and those kids don't fish a lot. You can imagine how much fun they had. You know, they'd I'd look over Mickey on that bait caster. He had this probably 30-inch red on, and he never stopped reeling. When the drag was going out, he was still reeling. It was just so funny, man. He just didn't want to give that fish any slack. But we got over there and snapped a bow grip on it. Had like 15 spots on that red, so he got his picture. So that was good stuff, man. But I don't know about you guys, but our water is just super bowed up here, super high, just amazing.
Yeah, we got water. We're bowled up.
It's just, man, it's just crazy how much water we got. And so we finished up that trip. Then I got on Friday. I got Hudson Moon, which is this guy that works on. Fishes back in the back of Alazon, just a heck of a stick in the back of Alazon, and
right.
he was going to Jay's seminar, I think last night. He called me and said, "Hey man, I'm coming to town anyway. Can I fish you on Friday?" And I was off. I said, "Heck yeah, man, come on." And well, he's just a master of the back of Alazon. So I said, "Look, I can't do you any good in Alazon. You know that place better than I do. He lives back there." Right. He says, "You're right. I want you to show me something that you hadn't showed me." I showed him all the North Shore. I said, "Well, look," he said, I hear all you talking about to Mickey about all this fish in the land cut. I want to learn how to fish the land cut. I'm going, look, man, the wind's going to blow, you know, 25 out of the northeast. It's not a good cut day.
Nah, it's not a good wind for the cut.
But we did it anyway. You know, when you're stupid, you're stupid.
Hey, and so, stupid is, stupid does, huh?
Stupid does, you know. So we put in at Bird Island, going to save some gas, you know, so we put in at Bird Island. And there's thunderstorms, Mickey, all around us. I know we're going to get soaked. And I threw my rain jacket in just for case, you know. And we make about a 60-mile run to the mouth of Mansfield down there. And the wind's so weird, I'm having to nose the boat into the drop-off, totally opposite what I do, and stay right on the drop-off with a due north wind, no east to it. So I'm having to crab walk that thing, and they're throwing down there and getting big blow-ups, catching fish on that edge, still fish on that edge. And we find this one section has got a lot of fish, so they pile out and wait it, you know. And catch a few fish like that. And so we had this brainstorm, let's go a little farther south. So we went on into Mansfield, and Mickey, I parked the boat out there, and it's looking good, a lot of bait, and I see this big cloud coming. I go, man, maybe it's going to go around us. No, it didn't go around us. It dumped us. It dinged about 3 inches on us, and we're just sitting there just for an hour and a half just getting
like
just
stupid
getting
chickens
wet.
out in the rain, man.
Are my guys sitting in the boat? No, they're out there fishing. They're out there wading. And I'm trying to keep up with them with the trolling motor and the power poles down the flats, and they're catching some fish. But I tell you what, you talk about some guys that want to fish. Man, that was a motivation was not a problem when you got those two guys in the boat. I had Barry came along too. And, Hudson invited Barry. They've been wanting to meet each other. But man, I tell you what, when you got guys that want to fish, they don't let the weather get in the way.
No. Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? You're that far 60 miles from the dock.
I mean, yeah, you might as well let her eat, you know.
You just got to cowboy up, brother.
That's what we did. We cowboyed up. I like
it,
that.
Man. That's all you can do. Been there and done that. Golly. Let me knock his break out, Cliff. Hang on,
right,
buddy. I'll be right back. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop for all your grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And what a great processing facility. You know, we got bow season going on right now, deer season right around the corner. No better place to have your wild game process than the Belleville Meat Market. Excellent service, excellent packaging. Quality is, it's a plus. They do everything right at the Belleville Meat Market. Been using them for years, and I'd take my meat nowhere else. They track your game all the way through the process. That assures you're getting back the meat you took such good care of for your freezer. And check out their meat market with a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. Monday through Sunday, they serve at 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and their pecan smoked sausage, along with homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs available for all your cookout needs. And if you need a quarter or half calf process, that's available for pre-order and custom processing also. And the Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly, beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:18 here in the Bayou City. Cliff, we're back, my friend.
All right, buddy.
So y'all were fishing in monsoons, and
unbelievable. And you know, You know, I had really good talent in the boat. You know, both those guys, you know, just Hudson and Barry, just really good fishermen.
Yeah.
And we didn't want, I tell you what, if we'd have been in the fishing tournament, we'd have won it because we had big flounder, big, perfect redfish and perfect trout, you know. So,
wow.
I'm saying if we'd have been in the tournament, it'd have been good. But, you know, all because they grinded out, you know, just the wind was so bad. So I'm nosed into the drop off. I got one guy on the front. He fires in. He's got such a big bow in the line from the wind. You almost every time get a wind, a wind knot around the tip of your rod. You know how that wraps around?
Oh, yeah.
And so you had to, you know, just the conditions were terrible, you know. And then you get a big blow up and you're, you know, just trying to set the hook and stuff. But still they caught fish on that, you know. But the conditions were just horrible, you know, just amazing. Now, I could put them on redfish till their arms fell off. The redfish now are up in the sand eating those baby crabs. What's happened?
Uh-oh.
The water has, yeah, the water has boiled up for so long. All these little islands and shorelines that have the little sand crab holes in them. Mm. Well, they've been underwater so long now, those crabs are having to come out. And they don't like to come out during the day because the birds will get them, you know, stuff. So they come out during the night out of those holes and try to climb up on the bank or try to get to higher land. And those redfish know that. And they pile around those spoil islands with sand rings around them in the mornings. And so it's real easy to go in there and pop a bunch of reds on paddle tails, you know.
Right.
And I tell you what, we acid test those bait reels. They are good, man. We strip some drag off those things, man. They got a great drag system.
Yeah, they do. But, I like that clicking noise it makes when the drag's going
yes,
out.
Yes, yes.
And that's sweet.
And I had,
it's so
yes,
smooth,
I had,
and you're palming that reel, and you can hear and feel that clicking as that drag's easing out. That's pretty cool.
And it's got a good smooth drag. I think three or four of those guys had those bait reels and had them for a while, and they've been holding up really good. But
yeah, I think the public got them before we did.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, so cool. So I broke out my old Slam Mag. I normally don't fish that Slam Mag. It's a little stiffer, but this winter
right.
I want to fish a stiffer rod. I put a brand new baits on it and spooled it up the night before. And, Mickey, I could throw all the line off that thing. It holds like 100 yards, and with that wind, I could pop it and have to stop it before it hits
the
rod.
Yeah, if you can buggy whip like that Slam Mag and turn it loose, you can throw it a country mile.
It was insane how far I was throwing, you know.
That's crazy.
But,
that's why you don't have any shoulders left from all the paddling and surfing and the way you cast so violently.
I know, and I'm sitting around sleeping nights on my shoulder. Then I go shoot a bunch of birds on it, you know.
There you go.
That one's all right. That's just go ahead and wear
no
it on
pain,
out.
No pain, no gain.
Golly. But, you know, a lot of those guys shoot 28 gauges, and I didn't realize what a great caliber 28 is, a great gauge.
I don't even have I got a garage full of shotguns, and I don't have a 28 gauge. Got
14s, I'm getting ready to get one.
20s
yeah.
And, you know, everything else, but. No 28.
But those guys, you know, I shoot a 20 gauge, and I was surprised and talking to some of those guys how that 28 gauge has a great pattern and all that. I don't understand all that stuff. I'm shooting my 20, but, you know, these guys are really good shots. And it's funny because all those guys that we were with are just great shots. I'm just watching birds rain down there. I'm looking down, the birds are just raining out of the sky. It was just stupid. You know, oh, man. Some of them would, all of a sudden, they'd stop shooting.
They swing shotguns like we fish, you know.
Oh, my God, you know. Then all of a sudden, one would stop shooting. He's got his 15, you know, he's done. He's done. So he's sitting there having a cold drink and watching everybody else finish up, you know. But that was
boy, and that's
really
hard to do, to put that gun down when you're already finished and watching everybody else get to shoot.
I know it. Man, it's nuts. But that was some good bird on it. Of course, my son up here at Mathis still got white wing. He's still whacking them every day. I may go up there today and try to shoot some white wing because he's still covered up with white wing.
Well, Blaine,
I don't know.
They've been just smoking the white wings, and he said this rain started, and the morning doves are covering him up. They're coming back from your way.
I think so, too. And I listen to Plog. Is he down in Alice right now?
He's in Alice, yeah. He's down there at Rod's.
Yeah, I don't know to go. I don't know to go to Alice or Mathis today, but I'm going to try to go somewhere and go bird hunting. I just, I got to put the rod down for a couple of days. God almighty, man.
Well, it depends on this old weather, man. I hadn't looked at radar in a while, but y'all got a lot of rain down your way.
We do got a lot of rain.
Up towards Corpus, it's drier looking, or it was earlier when I looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was down below you, moving inland.
Yeah, we said yesterday, we're sitting here yesterday, and we're going south. We're going, oh, it's going to stay offshore. We got it. We're going to round the corner. we turn the radar on the phone, and here comes that monster right at us. You know, it just covers us up. You know, so I told him, I say, man, it's getting late. We got to be back by 3:30. Barry's got something to do. So I said, let's go fish the North Shore bath. And so we take off. We run through several storms, you know, getting to the North Shore, and we pull in there and catch some fish. Look behind us. Here it comes again, you know. So we never could really get away from it. It was,
you know,
like
one of the worst lightning storms I've ever been in was down at Baffin.
Oh,
we were fishing all the Badlands and Tide Gauge, all that area through there, and we're just smoking them on top waters. And the weather was coming off the Gulf, all these squalls, and when they would come through, it was just torrential downpour. And it kind of reminds me of what you were saying, you know, about Barry and you know y'all fishing the land cut the other day. Golly, man. It's
just dumping.
And Raz and Hodge went with me, a couple of buddies. I was pre-fishing for a tournament the following weekend. And, man, those storms had come through, and Hodge and I had sit down on the floor and get behind the console, and Raz just standing up on the deck said, let lightning strike. I'm going, you are crazy.
Like that movie Forrest Gump, you know?
Yeah. This all you got?
Guess all
man,
you got.
Lightning was spraying everywhere, and he's standing up there throwing the top water and catching them and pouring down rain.
Oh, man. You know what's scary about that lightning? If you're the only boat around, you got some rods sticking up in the rod holder, you need to put them down. You know, when that lightning comes, I try to get something higher than me, like a, you know, get next to a channel marker with a metal pole, with a metal sign, or something a little closer than, you know, just outside my range, because that lightning will get you. And I seen this happen in Mexico one time. There's a big rock in Mexico called Corbatanian. It sticks out of the water, and there's a giant lightning rod on it. That lightning rod sticks up like 30 feet. And as soon as that weather become chicano and all the boats start circling that island, and we'd see that pole just turn white. It just turned white. Man. And that's what they do. They get up there next to those lightning rods, you know, up close on those islands, so the lightning doesn't hit their boat. But, man, that's the old school right there, buddy.
I'd rather be a live chicken than a dead duck.
Oh, my God. Have you been out there and had your line float off the water from static electricity?
I've seen people's hair just flying up in the air. Back when people had long hair.
That's good stuff there.
I mean, just your hair's floating. Yeah. I think we ought to
you know, back when we fished mono, especially, everybody throw out. And a line come about 3 or 4 foot off the water and stay in the air, just floating. And their plugs in the water. I said, well, this ain't good, boys, you know.
No.
And then
that graphite rod you're holding starts talking to you, singing.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like a copper wire you're holding. You know?
That static electricity's bad. That means lightning's going to strike close.
Mm-hmm. But I think we could be covered up for the next few days here with rain.
Yeah, it's not looking good.
I know we had 3 inches on us down in the boat. It was ridiculous, man. Thank God I got the new motor, because I was way down there. I just let her eat coming back. I opened that bad boy up and come on home with it.
How are you liking that new engine?
I haven't quite got the right prop. I'm kind of breaking in with too small a prop, trying to get the right RPM.
What do you
mean,
bigger diameter?
I'm running a 25. I've got a great hole shock right now. Just incredible. But
25
it's not
pitch?
Right. Yeah, 25 pitch. I'm going to go to a 27. And I think Rousey and other guys are running the same boat, and they're running 29s and 27s, and they're topping speed. I'm not running the right RPMs for my speed. You know, that's the deal. I'm running too many RPMs, not getting enough speed. I'm burning too much gas, so I'm going to go up a notch. But I just almost got 20 hours on it. They're going to change that lower unit gear lube. They put a synthetic stuff in there, Chris's Marine, and man, that stuff is really expensive, but it really saves your lower unit.
Yeah, so we're gonna make it last way longer.
Mm-hmm.
Sure will.
But something this new motor's got is incredible. Is that lower unit is a beast. That skeg is like an inch thick. I've never seen a skeg on a motor that big, you know, and thick. So it's an animal. I got the commercial one, not the smaller unit. I got that big lower unit, and I think it's really gonna help me. You know,
that's like that lower unit on my Honda. It's a beast, man.
Yeah, that's what you said. Golly. I'm seeing more Hondas down here than I've ever seen. So finally, they're kind of getting a foothold down here in South Texas.
Boy, they're thick up here.
Yes, they are. It's amazing, you know.
Well, I like mine. I mean, I'm on my fourth one or whatever. Boy, they're sweet. They are so sweet.
What do you run, 250?
Yeah, 250. And my boat's rated for 275. I'd sure like to have one of those new 350s. Man, those things are so sweet. Oh, my gosh.
Well, this is the first 400 I've had. I'm pretty impressed with that 10-cylinder. It's got so much power mid-range. Like, you're going,
I bet,
you know, 3,500 or something. Yeah, and you just barely bump it. It just throw your head back. You know, I like it.
Man.
I think I'm really going to like it when I get the... And, you know, I look back, so I got all these shoe boxes full of all these old pictures. So I sit there in the range, start looking at some old pictures. I started looking at some of these motors we were running. Oh, my God. You know, they were so big and bulky and had no horsepower when we first started 40 years ago. That was crazy. Those 140s, you know, we used to run. They had the O2 sensors, and everything was breaking. And, man, we've come a long way on motors. And the new 10 doesn't even have pee water out. You know how the little pee tube comes out the back, you know, and throws water out? It doesn't have that. It doesn't have any kind of thing like that. It just has a pressure gauge. And it runs low pressure. It runs in around 7.5 to 10 pounds of pressure, you know, which is unusual, but that's what they run now. So, it's crazy what's going on with the motors. Man.
Well, at times, if I'm sitting there idling and I forget my motor's running, I can hear that, you know, the discharge, it's running. It's hitting the water.
Yeah, that's funny. So some of those, you can hear them. Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, when they're sitting there idling, they're so quiet. You know, it's just, you never get used to it.
That's good stuff right there, man. Well, they got the Babes on the Bay today, that big tournament out here. I'm wondering how they're going to be able to fish with all this weather. Man, they got a lot of people. They got a lot of people in this tournament. Oh, my God.
Hope everybody stays safe.
Well, the biggest deal is trying to get your boat off the trailer in this water. I mean, people are backing up to their bumper trying to get their boat off. That's nuts.
Well, y'all's ramps have less slope than ours do up here. We have steeper ramps because of, you know, different configuration. You know, y'all are real flat down there, and it's hard to, you know, once you go down there and fish your area, you can see that it's not a problem backing your truck down in the water.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy right here. 37's, you know, had water all the way up in the Snoopy there for a few days. And
isn't that something?
Phew,
that's a lot of water, man.
Yes, it is, buddy. It's something else. But I think when it all dry, I'm looking forward to that drain out. If it'll just drain out a little bit and push some of this bait stuff out of these sloughs, because what's going on now, we're having that big migration of shrimp and pogies and stuff coming out of the back of the bay. They're running down the shores, and so the points are really good. But with this boat up water, the bait scatters. It doesn't really take tight on the points and stuff, so they may be way up on the shore. We're catching fish yesterday in 1.5 feet of water right up on the bank. I mean, Barry had a flounder hit a topwater, I know, in 1 foot of water, just a big old blow up, as a big old saddle blanket. And we didn't know what it was, and all of a sudden it shot out in front of the boat. It looked like a carpet, big old flounder blowing up on the topwater. Yeah.
Doormat swimming around.
It was fine looking, man. It was just, he just didn't quite get him on the top water. But
see,
don't
we
think
get our fall, you know, run started, you know, just to get things normal for this time of year. You'll be wading shorelines, and you'll be out kind of waist deep catching trout, and you look inside right against the banks, and those flounder will be launching, jumping out of the water like mullet, chasing shad and stuff, and shrimp.
Man, I hear that a lot. I've seen it a few times, but it seems like they do it more by you, because so many people's told me that. I've seen them jump before, and it's always right up on the shore.
Right next to the bank, every time.
Yeah. But the trouble with our flounder fishing, Mickey, we have so much commercial activity. We just don't catch them on rod and reels like you guys do, because we just have so many flounder boats. The water's clear, and they really get them here. You know.
Yeah, I remember the first time I ever went to Rockport one night. We're sitting at this bar and restaurant, and we're sitting out on the dock, and we're looking across the bay, and I asked Jay and them, I said, what's all them lights over there? I didn't know there was houses on the other side. He said, those are all flounder boats.
Uh-huh.
Looked like a city over there.
Yeah,
so many people floundering.
Yeah, well, I think the best thing they did is shut it down to let someone go in the Gulf. That's the only thing that's going to save us, you know, because the pressure's really on them. So
yeah. It's
kind of a good thing. I've kind of missed that flounder fishing in November, but, you know, it is what it is. So
Well, I'd rather catch big trout anyway.
Yeah, me too. You know? And I tell you what, it's setting up to be a great fall. See, last year at this time, we lost a lot of our fish because our summer was so hot, they dumped on us. They dumped.
I remember all your fish went south through the cut on you.
And that didn't happen this year. They're still fishing the back of Alazan, you know, still fishing all over the meadows and stuff. So, and the bait's there. Once the bait's there, the fish are still there. See, last year our bait did the same thing. It took off. And
well, it went to the cooler water too.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what's going on here. If we just get rid of it. And I'll tell you what the high water did too. It's going to deposit all that floating grass up on the shoreline again. So that's when after this stuff falls out, man, we should have some good clean water.
Yeah, then when it goes out, yeah, I was just fixing to say that. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know when we're going to get a drop.
I don't know either, man.
Here. Golly.
Yeah, and see, north wind pushes our water up against the causeway. It pushes water against our causeway, and so it bows it up. And then as long as you got a north wind, it never falls out. It takes a strong southeast wind to push our water out, and that's what's happening.
See, and we're just opposite up here in northeast, east or southeast wind. It pumps water in for us.
Yeah, well, a west wind will pump it out, take it out.
Yeah, we need north and northwest and west, southwest to pump our water out.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do this break, Cliff. Hang on a second. I'll be right back.
All right, Mickey.
All right. Well, folks, AnglerU is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. And weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics in their archive so you can see patterns over time. And educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing, for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon, whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, AnglerU's got you covered. Go to AnglerU.com. You can become a member today and receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. That'll save you a ton of money in the long run. So go to AnglerU.com. That's AnglerU.com and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 641 here in the Bayou City on a Saturday morning. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, buddy.
During the break, I got a text from a listener. He goes, now, what are the name of these new reels y'all are talking about? He said, baits. I really still like my concepts. And I said, yeah, baits, the salty hundo or the hundo.
Yeah,
he said, you like it better than the concepts? I said, well, I can't say yet. I need more time to fish with them, but I really like the drag system. He said, well, good. You guys always cost me more money.
So true,
said,
isn't it?
Well, stick with your 13s till you trash them out, but you deserve a new Bates.
Get one. I like the way it fits my hand. You know, I just have, like Jay says, I got ham hocks for hands. I don't have much of a grip anymore.
Big old bear balls, too. And, and that salty hundo, it's kind of small. It feels weird when I, you know, because I palm my reel, you know, with my. Yeah. Middle finger and ring finger, you know, with the hook on the rod between the two, the trigger. But it's pretty sweet. It's light, and so far so good. I just love it when drag goes out. That's my favorite part. So please be a bigger fish so I can get some drag movement here.
It's smooth, too. It's not jerky.
Instead of cranking them down for pencils.
You know, Mickey, it's so important on big trout to have a smooth drag. I see people that don't change the drag because they lose those big trout.
Hey, how many giant trout did we lose back in the day when with them jerky drags, man?
That is bad, you know.
You know what and we so, did? We always just, when I'd set the hook and I knew I had a big trout on, I just pushed the button in, and I would use my thumb to eliminate all that bouncing of that rod tip and jerking those baits loose from those fish.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've watched people's raw position fighting big fish. And you tell the guy that's caught a lot of big fish, you know, when he sets a hook, instead of 12 o'clock, he'll bow it over, you know, like down to the water. And
well,
you know,
I do that to keep the fish from coming out of the water and shaking that bait.
Right.
Keep his head under the water.
And you think about this, too. If you got a broken back on and he's taking the bait and that plug is on the opposite side where you're pulling it, pulls the the hook back into him. Yes. And so another thing you can do, so a fish hits you straight on, this is a bad deal that happens to us in the summer. So you're working a topwater or a crookie, and you get the thump, and you get slack, and the fish is coming in towards you. Right. A lot of times you set that hook straight up, he'll come off. But if you'll lay it to the side and just ease into it, he'll close his mouth, he'll get him. But so many people, he's still got it kind of like a carrot in the top of his mouth. And you go to set the hook straight up, you're just ripping it right out. And if you're real, real fast and lay it down the side and set the hook, it seems like I get more hook sets. But
we used to do that a lot in the wintertime with mirror lures, set the hook to the side instead of straight up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes a difference too.
It does.
And I have a lot of these people that fish bandstill in other areas that take those treble hooks off the top water and put the straight hooks on. And they're great in the grass stuff, but you're not going to have the hook ratios, hook sets that you're going to have with two treble hooks. I'm sorry. I agree with that stuff, but I've seen some guys miss some absolute pigs. They'll put those straight hooks on a jumping minnow, and a jumping minnow is real light anyway, and the fish is pushing it. Yes. But, I tell them, look, man, you got to put those big troubles back on.
Plus, it changes the action on the bait.
Of the bait, yes. Sometimes those hooks are too light, and the bait will belly up. In other words, it'll come up, and the belly's not enough in the water.
Yeah, there's no drag on the bait, you know.
Yes, and it scoots across. Yeah, it scoots across. It doesn't make a wake. Yeah.
Exactly.
And so right now, it's the weirdest thing. Everything's got to be a baby trout pattern. So I'm throwing the one knocker baby trout next to anybody.
It has been spawning season all year, and how many little tiny trout are swimming around in the waters out there?
That's what's going on.
Used to go to the TT mirror lure in the fall and the winter because they have the little dots on them, and they look like baby trout. Or, you know, that they call it the tiny trout pattern. And boy, we used to smoke a lot of big trout this time. Well, November, December on that TT.
TT-28, that was one of my favorite ones, man. Mm. What little mirror lures I threw, that was one of the only ones I really knew that worked, you know?
Well, it's the same thing in freshwater. They got that baby bass color, you know? We used to catch a lot of fish, you know, saltwater fish on that baby bass pattern.
We did, too. You know, I don't know why I don't throw it anymore, man.
We do a lot of stupid stuff now. There's so much there's so much to throw now that it really can handicap you at time. I mean, old school
overload
still works.
Yep.
I mean, I did that the other day. I went to just a shrimp tail. I mean, a real shrimp tail, an old Kelly Wiggler, the old Jimmy Dean Green, and
they
I caught fish all day long with it.
Mm-hmm. That's funny you said that, because that's all we had, Mickey, for – you know, didn't have a lot of swim shads or nothing. It was all those shrimp tails.
I remember when Hoagie came out with that paddle tail, that shad bait, they're soft plastic. I mean, this 35 years ago, whenever it was, I remember Tim Young and Blaine and all of us fishing together, and I broke some of those out, and we were waiting, and I put one on. It was a black back with a silver glittery sides and that white belly. Buddy, you couldn't get it back. And they were making fun of me when I tied it on, and, boy, they were begging for them in about 30 minutes later.
That's why I keep my mouth shut now.
Oh,
I used to be old and talk about, that ain't going to work, you know. And they smoke you, you know. Just that's like those bass baits people pull out. You know, I go, man, I look at that thing, and I go, man, it ain't going to work, and they catch trout on it. That bass baits work so good on salt water. It's nuts,
I'm
man.
I'm telling you.
But you know what I'm looking for now when I'm looking at baits is the hardware. So if a company doesn't care enough to put good split rings and good hooks, I'm not interested. You're going to charge me $12 for a topwater that's got these pinchy hooks and these little bitty split rings I'm going to lose a pig on? My hands are so bad, I'm not changing the hooks. I may change it one time or something, but I'm not going through that. I'm going to go to another plug. And that's what's so good about heading some of these companies, you know, like Mirror Lure and stuff. Mirror Lure's got some of the best split rings and best stuff, you know.
Their hardware has always been, you know, cut above. It really has.
It is.
You know?
And that's why I really turned to mirror lure. When I'm in the big fish season, pretty much my products are mirror lure on the end of my rod because I trust them. You know, I just don't lose those big fish. The biggest fish I ever lost, Mickey, was on pulled a split ring off a cork, and it was a time that Paul Brown didn't get the right split rings in, and they had some cheaper ones, and they put those cheap split rings on. And, you know, it got me, man. I just should have changed it out. I just grabbed one out of the package, and I hooked that giant trout, you know. One on a jumping minnow and one on a salmon corky that I'll never forget, you know. And it pulled the thing split rings out. I would have got it. You know, so now the thing I check on all my hardware is my hooks and my split rings. Another thing that happens, so if these companies get in a hurry, Mickey, they won't seal the nose of the plugs. You need to take those like top waters and just put a little bit of super glue on the nose of the plug where the little loop is you tie the knot, because that's what gets the water in it sometimes. And a lot of times they'll seal it and sometimes they don't. So I look at it. If it's got a hole in it, I'm going to put a little something in there. You'll pick your top water up, it doesn't rattle. The rattle's frozen in it from the rust.
Right.
But you get a little bit of our salt water in anything. It's like a lot of salt water other places because it's just pure salt.
Hey, that stuff down there, man, that's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, I know when Mike sent me these new reels, these new bait reels, he said, well, we're going to give them to you, Cliff, and really test them in that salty condition.
Oh,
and
it's hard to
do on stuff, you know.
You know, and people don't realize, well, I didn't even dunk my reel. They don't realize your line holds water when you reel it up on that spool.
It'll
work its way in the crevices of the spool into the cages.
And that's exactly what happens.
And then when they get in, the first thing to do is a high-pressure, you know, water hose. They turn a nozzle on and spray all that stuff into the reel.
They should wipe it off first and then
wet it down if you just got to spray it down. I don't ever spray reels down, man.
I don't either. I wipe them off. Yeah.
That's it. That's a bad habit to have if you want to make reels last, spraying water over them like
that. I know you do this, too. You look over and your customer's got line around the tip and he's got his reel. He don't realize it, but he's got his reel about two foot underwater, you know.
Yeah.
And you tell him, man, he brings it up, shakes it off. Well, you're good to go that day, and maybe the next day, the third day, you ain't going. you're locking up on that reel. And I always tell everybody, if that happens to you that night, just go ahead and take it apart and rinse it all out with fresh water. And take your hair dryer. I know I've told you this before, and a lot of people probably have heard this before. Dry it out with a hair dryer and put that oil in there, because that hot metal with that oil will suck that oil in places that never will go. If that reel is still warm from the hair dryer, and you put a little drop in those bearings, that bearing's dry and hot, it sucks that oil in every little spot, and man, it makes that reel smooth. And just leave it open overnight, then put it back together the next day.
Man,
but the main thing is don't drop
them. People putting reels in their oven all night while they're
sleeping. Oh, no, that might happen.
And then oil them up and go fishing. Remember the old days? You get somebody in the boat, they'd have a bearing froze up on a reel, and they'd cast, and
squeal.
It sounded like somebody stepping on a cattail every time they'd chunk. I go, man, put that up and grab something else. I can't take listen to that anymore.
I know. It's nuts how that works, you know. And it's so easy to take your reel in and pop the bearings out and have them put a new bearing in it.
Do it yourself. It's easy to do.
Yeah,
you got those pliers, take that little clip out, you know, and some needle nose and pull that little clip out, dump the bearing out, and just rob it out of an old reel. They all interchange pretty much.
Yes, sir. And I'll tell you something I do. So a lot of these reels has the synthetic bearing on one side or something, a little, you know, synthetic looking disc in there.
Yeah.
Well, after a while, you burn it long enough, that thing will waddle out a little bit and won't be so smooth. You can pop that bearing out and put a regular bearing in there, and it works just fine.
Yeah.
You know, synthetics is good for a while, but then it seems like for a while they'll wear out, and I'll put another bearing
in there. What do they call that? It's like it's basically a bushing instead of a bearing.
Yeah, yeah. And I throw so hard, I make that thing scream. I really got to watch those things. You know,
I like roller bearings the best.
I do too. I do too, you know. And it's so easy to change it out, because there's nothing worse than and not having that little bit of a grind in your reel when you're working the plastic. It drives me nuts. Like, I want to be able to feel that weight change. So this week, these fish were doing a lot of holding on. They weren't thumping it. They've been eating so much shad. And you just realize it's just like a weight change. And if you got kind of a grindy reel, I mean, you may not feel that quick enough. And then the hook's down in his throat. You know, I hate digging those hooks out. I had this one guy the other day, he's got one of those long tong-looking things, those big old hook outs, you know, it's about 6 inches long. And every time I look her down, he's got that thing down that trout's throat, shaking it off. And I said, well, that trout's done. And it's all because he didn't feel the hook set. You know, he just waited too long to set the hook. And so the first thing I do, I walk over there.
He kept hooking them deep. He said, boy, these trout are really eating good today. I said, no, you're just slow today.
You're just slow today.
What do you mean slow? I said, you need to set the hook earlier.
Yes.
Really? I said, yes. Mm-hmm. I said, they are biting good, but I said, if you feel anything, immediately set the hook. Then there's other days you got to worm them. You got to slow it down and delay your hook set. Uh-huh. You just got to figure it out. It's nothing.
You know, and then if I'm in a bunch of little trout and I see guys doing that and they don't want to leave, they don't catch a lot of fish or small fish that you can't get them pull off. They're having a blast. I'll go over there. Let me take that fish off for you, and I'll take my pliers and just crimp that barb down just a little bit. And I'm saving fish, and it helps them keep pressure on the fish. I said, this is teaching you to keep your line tight, you know.
But you don't need a barb unless you put a lot of slack in your line.
You know, I had fishing with Doug Pike, and he had his son. And Doug took a pair of pliers and crimped his son's lead head down, caught a 28.5-inch trout on that crimp barb and never lost it, you know.
Well, he didn't give it any slack. He stayed in contact with his fish, just like your lure. You got to stay in contact with everything.
That's it, buddy. That's it, man.
Keep that rod tip up, and if you do want to drop the rod tip down, you better compensate with your reel. Reel it up.
Yes, sir.
Don't give it any slack.
Yeah, that's the thing with the big trout. You can't give them anything. They stay on him.
You got to stay on him.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, we're coming up on big trout season, buddy. I'm ready, man. Golly.
Yep. Y'all been catching big trout all summer long.
Yes, I mean, we have. It was the best summer. I was talking to Rousey, and he's had – Rousey, too, and I agree. We had some of the best July and August we've ever had in a long time. We had a lot of big fish.
I got to vouch for that. I was down there in the heat of it. It was hot as hell.
Yeah, that was crazy how many big fish we got. Golly.
Oh, boy.
That's good stuff.
All right. Well, hey, buddy, if somebody wants to come down and hook up with you and get some fall and winter wading in, how do they get a hold of you, Cliff?
All right, Mickey, I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Appreciate having me on, Mickey. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Go whack some doves, man.
All right, buddy. Thanks, man.
Don't forget your rubbers. Wear your rubber boots today.
All right, buddy.
James goes, he's glad he put his rubber boots in the truck. He said it's a nasty mess down there where he's on.
Yeah, believe me, I got them in my truck. Yeah,
don't forget your rubbers. All right, man. We'll see you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Mickey.
Later. All right, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.